It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Yesterday, Pennsylvania joined 23 other states with comprehensive public medical marijuana programs when Governor Wolf signed Pennsylvania's medical marijuana bill into law. What will this new legislation mean for patients with severe autism and intractable epilepsy? Well, first of all, a process has been established. It begins with patients being given a form to fill out. Dr. Lauren Robinson, Deputy Secretary for Health Promotion and Disease Prevention, explains what happens next.
The patient will submit the form to the Pennsylvania Department of Health in order to receive a patient identification card for the Pennsylvania Medical Marijuana Program. Once they have received the identification card, patients can go to one of the 150 dispensaries located across the Commonwealth, present their card, and purchase medical marijuana.
I'm joined now in studio by two longtime supporters of medical marijuana in the State House of Representatives, Representative Ed Gainey and Representative Dan Frankel, both of Allegheny County. Gentlemen, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you for having us.
And if you have a comment or question about the new legal status of medical marijuana in Pennsylvania, you can join us with a comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Let's begin with the legislative battle to pass the medical marijuana bill in Pennsylvania. We've been discussing the issue of medical marijuana almost since we began this show 4 years ago when it first was being pursued in earnest by members of the legislature. What finally enabled this legislation to become law? Dan Frankel, let's start with you.
Well, I mean, it was an extraordinary amount of advocacy very emotional advocacy from families who brought particularly their young children who suffered from some of these illnesses that many believe medical marijuana would help alleviate some of the symptoms of, you know, from autism to epilepsy to Crohn's disease. These were things that many people believe in the medical community that the symptoms and the pain associated with some of them could be alleviated, and that motivated families, particularly with young children, to be in Harrisburg almost incessantly. I mean, it was incredible the amount of advocacy for years, and I think it helped to change the minds of many of my colleagues who resisted moving forward with this, and it was interesting because it moved minds on both sides of the political aisle: Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals. It was very effective, and finally, we also had a governor who engaged in a way and provided, I think, the leadership to get it over the finish line.
What were you up against, just in terms of the legislators and those in the public that, and some medical experts who were opposed to this, who felt that it was a gateway drug, who felt that that marijuana was not the way to go? What did you have to do to prevail upon those folks?
Well, we had to take a look at what's going on in other states. I mean, we're not exactly starting this from scratch. 22 other states have this type of legislation or a version of it. We have medical experts from across the country and internationally who've done research, particularly internationally. I mean, we have some problems with the FDA keeping this as a Schedule 4 narcotic that makes it very difficult to do research. But we have credible research from around the world that says, you know, this is not addictive. This is something that that can help alleviate some of these illnesses. And I think that type of information, in spite of opposition from the Pennsylvania Medical Society, was something that resonated with folks. And we know that medical societies in other states, in New York and California, those medical societies are supportive of this type of legislation. So there's conflicting information, but ultimately I think we believe that it's safe. We have other states to take a look at, and it made an enormous amount of sense to move forward here in Pennsylvania.
Representative Ed Gainey, this legislation nearly fell apart, and you are one of those credited with pulling it all back together. Explain what happened.
Well, I think first and foremost, Dan is right. It starts with the advocates, the family advocates. Even when it started to break down, they were the ones who went out and educated every legislature and every senator on the benefits of medical marijuana. And when you brought your, when you bring your kids up there and you're there every single day and you're looking at legislatures in the face saying, listen, we know this helps my kid. Here's evidence on it. We have evidence to where they've done research overseas. When you start educating people on the benefits of medical marijuana, that itself brings people back to the table to say, listen, we got to get this done for relief for the people of Pennsylvania.
And why would you say that medical marijuana was approved in Pennsylvania?
Well, I think they understood the need. I mean, when you look at it from a national level, it's a 25% decrease in opioids addiction when people are using medical marijuana in other states. That type of information is truly something that we want to hear because we understand that the opioid addiction is leading to heroin, is leading to overdose and some other things. So if you have an alternative such as medical marijuana that is working, that is proven to work to help patients with different ailments, then that's what we should be using.
And one thing that I think needs to be clarified for some people is how can Pennsylvania make medical marijuana legal when it is not approved by the federal government?
Well, it seems to me that the federal government is pretty much looking the other way, and it looks like it's the FDA is on the verge of reclassifying marijuana in terms of not being a Schedule IV narcotic. So that's going to make it easier for them. I think they basically acquiesced without enforcing the laws, and we see liberalization at every level of government. Almost, you see decriminalization of marijuana for recreational use. We see recreational use in other states. I think the FDA has been slow to kind of understand that they need to be part of this reform. But at the same time, that they seem to understand that this is not something that they're moving forward to enforce.
412-246-2002 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation with our two guests, members of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, Dan Frankel and Ed Gainey, proponents of medical marijuana, which has finally been signed into law by the governor, having been passed through an arduous process by the state legislature. And we'll be getting into a lot of the who, what, why, where, when of the whole now that marijuana has been legalized, of how the system will work, who is eligible to use medical marijuana, and also who will benefit from the use of medical marijuana. We have many people who want to join our conversation at 412-246-2002. Again, the email address is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. We have Joe in West Mifflin, and we'll get to all of our callers, but we're going to start with Joe in West Mifflin. Joe, you're on the air. Hi.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'd just like to thank you guys for all your hard work in getting this passed through. If I could quickly just comment that, I was, I guess you could say, a victim of this current opioid crisis that we have going on, regionally and nationally, and the benefits that I got from, the illegal use of the marijuana, it's essential and help people get through their illness. So, which leads to my question, beyond what Paul had described as the epilepsy and a few other things that he had said, are there other ailments what's the scope of who can get it? And, when I take a substance abuse test at work, am I going to lose my job? Because it's not recognized federally, but it's recognized by the state. How is that going to work?
Great questions, Joe. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, right now we know that there's 15 different cases. You have cancer, HIV and AIDS, ALS, Perkins disease, multiple sclerosis, damage to the nervous tissue of the spinal cord, epilepsy, inflammatory bowel disease, Huntington's disease, Crohn's disease, post-traumatic stress disorder, seizures, glaucoma, sickle cells, severe chronic pain, and autism. So those are the list that right now, if you had one of those diseases, you could go to a doctor, a physician, and they could fill out a paperwork. The paperwork you would supply to the Department of Health, and the Department of Health would issue you a card.
I think one of the great things about this legislation, in addition to that, is that while we have a specific list, the Department of Health, through with a medical advisory board, will have the ability to expand that list of illnesses for an expansion of medical marijuana without having to go through the legislative process, which, you know, while it worked, it took years and a lot of collaboration, and thanks to people like Ed Gainey negotiating this at the end of the day, we don't want to go through that process if we're going to have to, if it makes sense to add other illnesses to that list, and we give discretion to the Department of Health, and I think that's a great part of this legislation.
I want to piggyback on something that the caller said. Again, he said that he didn't have to struggle with opioids. And we know that federally, I said it before and I'm going to say it again because I think this is critical, particularly in the crisis that we're in right now. In states that have legislated medical marijuana, there's a 25% decrease in opioids overdose and addiction. That is something that we should celebrate.
Absolutely. That's an interesting statistic and really speaks to we've been hearing for months, if not years now, people asking about what can be done to deal with the problem of opioid addiction. And if this is something that helps, I think that's an eye-opener for plenty of people. What about Joe's question, though, that if he's using medical marijuana and it comes up on a drug test and it's not federally approved, what kind of legal problems does that pose for people who will be using medical marijuana?
I mean, I don't know exactly, if there's – I don't think there's anything in this legislation that speaks to, giving kind of an immunity to somebody with respect to or ability to counter. I think hopefully employers will understand the use of this. The medical marijuana, the way it's going to be – it's not being smoked. It's being used through pills, through ointments. Vaporizers and so forth. It's not in the form that is meant to get somebody high. So using medical marijuana ought to be looked at as you would other mild painkillers, psychotropic drugs, things like that that people use and work every day in. And I think there needs to be some education among employers about this medication. So that it's not used as a reason to fire somebody.
Go ahead.
As we move forward, I think you'll hear more about that information right there coming forth.
Right, because, certainly it's going to show, if it shows up on a drug test, nobody's going to know whether it was being, what the intent of the user was. Someone might assume, you're using recreational drugs. We have a very specific policy. We test for that. If you come up positive, you're gone. And in an ideal world, yes, we would hope that employers would be open-minded and educated on this. But is the legislature or the state or some entity of state government going to need to do something in a proactive way that prevents somebody from losing their job? Because if there's no protection, what recourse would someone have if, like as Joe pointed out, he was to lose his job?
Well, one of the things that we definitely said in the beginning is that you have to have something from your physician stating that you're using medical marijuana and also your medical marijuana card.
So if you have a prescription and you have a card, you can show that to your employer
Absolutely. You can show this to your employer so he doesn't think, as you stated, that it's just recreational use, that I actually have a medical card stating that I have a need to use medical marijuana. And again, as Dan said, it's not in smoking forms, it's in other forms. So those two things right there should demonstrate to employers that, hey, he does have a clearance here. He has a medical card and a prescription from his doctor.
Let's take another call. We have Bob in Shaler Township. Hi, Bob. You are on Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, thank you. My question actually got answered already when you gave the list of 15 conditions or so. Severe chronic pain. There's the adjective, severe. What exactly is severe and who's to judge? I have chronic pain, but what's severe for me may not be severe for you and vice versa. They oftentimes ask you when you go into the pain clinic, on a scale of 1 to 10, where's your pain at today? Mm-hmm. And I'll say, today it's at a 5. The next time it might be at a 1. But the fact is that it's always at a 1 and it's always at a 5. It never goes away, even with the medicine that I'm on right now. So I've asked my doctor what his thoughts were on medical marijuana, and he said there's not enough tests to determine whether or not it's effective. not enough research has been done. So how do I respond to my doctor when he says that?
Great question, Bob.
Well, first of all, some of the revenue that's generated, there's a tax on this that's going to be dedicated for research as well. But ultimately, I think we have to trust the judgment of physicians to make these decisions with their patients. And, you know, to the caller's, you know, situation with his physician, you know, there are physicians who clearly are not supportive of medical marijuana. And I think it's incumbent on folks to do some research and, if necessary, to find a physician who might have a different approach on this. But ultimately, I think it's not the role of legislators to kind of dictate, you know, decision-making and information that passes between physicians and patients, though we tend to do that quite frequently. I'm hoping that that physicians will take it upon themselves, those who aren't familiar with medical marijuana, to look into it and educate themselves about it so that they can be more informed when they deal with their patients.
Go ahead, Ed.
You know, that's a great question, you know, because he has to talk to his doctor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of information out there. I mean, the FDA has their patents overseas in regards to medical marijuana. So there's a boatload of information that's out there. It's about making sure that you can get that information and have a conversation with your doctor about, here's some, because sometimes the doctors may not know. You don't know where they're getting their information from. But there's information that's available that we can get to them that says, here's a conversation that you can have with your doctor about medical marijuana and how it's been tested and some of the answers that's come from the test. There's a way of doing that.
Ed, how will it be taxed?
It'll be taxed 5% from grower / processor to dispensary.
412-246-2002. This would be a good time to take a break and then come back, and we will get to all of your calls and emails. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking today about the newly legalized medical marijuana in Pennsylvania. Governor Wolf signing the bill into law yesterday at a signing ceremony at the Capitol. And I'm joined in studio by State Representatives Dan Frankel and Ed Gainey of Allegheny County, both proponents of medical marijuana. They've worked long and hard to make this become a reality in Pennsylvania. And if you have comments or questions about how the law will work, whether you are for it or against it, you can also share your opinions with us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH. Back to take your calls when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In case you missed it, Pennsylvania joined 23 other states with comprehensive public medical marijuana programs when Governor Wolf signed Pennsylvania's medical marijuana bill into law. So what will this new legislation mean for patients? And when will the process be established? When will it become available? How will it be available? We're going to get to those questions and more, and your questions as well, at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Before we take another call, I just want to start with this basic question of people that maybe, you know, we always assume people are closely looking at these issues as closely as we are, but some people may not have been reading up on this. What is medical marijuana? How do we define that? Ed, do you want to take that?
The medical marijuana is the THC from the plant that they use in many different forms. As Dan said, some of it comes in the form of a pill, some of it comes in the form of an oil, a gel, oil or gel. So that's exactly what it is.
And who benefits from medical marijuana? We've gotten into this somewhat, but you know, Dan, do you want to take that? Who benefits from medical marijuana?
Folks that suffer from some of these chronic illnesses that deal with severe pain, As Ed pointed out, an alternative to looking at the opioids, which obviously have had devastating results socially for our community and across the country, and alleviate some of the symptoms for things like from epilepsy, from seizures, reducing potentially the number of seizures somebody may have as well. So it's patients, adults and children across the Commonwealth who will have access to another alternative. You know, it's another tool for dealing with some of these chronic illnesses for physicians to be able to utilize as alternatives to other pain medications. And I think it's something that makes an enormous amount of sense to provide the medical community with that tool.
Let's go to Jason in Harrison City. Hi, Jason. Go ahead with your comment or question for Dan Frankel and Ed Gainey.
Hi, Paul. I just want to say I love Essential Pittsburgh. I've listened to it religiously throughout all my time with NPR. And let me just say first to the esteemed representatives of the Pennsylvania legislature, thank you. This is a long time coming, and progress in this state has always been a little bit slower than everyone else, and I just appreciate all that you've done. One question I have that hasn't been addressed, the supply side of it. How are you guys going to award the licenses for growers and distributors? I know there's a limited amount, and I just want to make sure that you guys have a plan that makes sense to the people and we get an idea of how it's going to work. For us entrepreneurial people, we, not to say we're money hungry, but if there's a way that we can help in any way possible with the distribution of information of any kind of the supply side of things, with growing, with distribution, anything,
sure.
It's easy to try and break into that issue. I just want to hear your comments.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Ed.
Well, there'll be 50 dispensaries times three, so it's about 150. You can have growers and processors or one slashed in dispensaries. Everything will be regulated out of the Department of Health. I know that's something that they will be working on, correct, Dan? They will be working on that in order to roll out this. I think it's going to take between 18 to 24 months to get everything up and moving. And then again, I think you're absolutely right. There also has to be an education campaign to talk about the benefit of medical marijuana and how it helps people that need it. So, you know, the Department of Health, again, the Department of Health will be rolling out the rules and regulations in regards to how medical marijuana will be dispensed. But right now, it's a two-step process. It's grower, processor, then you have dispensaries.
And I would say that the Department of Health is going to have rigorous criteria. I mean, they're going to be looking at a criminal history check for all those who are principals, backers, and operators of these businesses. And they're going to have to show that they can maintain security and track and record keep immaculately and have surveillance systems as well within their operations. So, Ed's right, the regulations have to be issued in detail, but the framework is a pretty rigorous one that the Department of Health is going to have to put together for implementation.
Where will medical marijuana be grown?
Pennsylvania.
So it'll all come from here?
Pennsylvania.
Will Pennsylvania consider legalizing marijuana for recreational use as well? Dan
Frankel? Well, in my view, it's a long way from here. It was really not part of this discussion. I don't think it was even contemplated. Many of my colleagues and I personally am sympathetic to looking at that as an issue. Certainly, many of us believe that it ought to be decriminalized and take a look at what Philadelphia and Pittsburgh are moving forward with decriminalization. It makes no sense to incarcerate and ruin lives of people who use marijuana for recreational use. But we have to take a look at what other states are doing, particularly in Colorado and Washington, to see how recreational use is being implemented. I think the jury's still out, and whether it's the right thing to do and whether it's a good thing to do. So I think we'll take a look at what other states are doing. Politically, I don't see even an inkling of a possibility in the near future of recreational marijuana being able to be legalized.
We had a legislator from Philadelphia, Dalen Leach, who was one of the early proponents of legalizing marijuana, and I think he, like you, was seems to be happy with the idea that it's at least been legalized for medical use. But there, I'm sure, are plenty of people saying, why not take that next step as other states have done? What about that, Ed?
You know, I think it's a question that has to be looked at. I think you're absolutely correct. It has to be looked at. I think we have to look at what we're doing right now on the whole war on drugs, or as some people would say, including myself, war on humanity. I think we have to take a look at it. One of the things that I did in the state house, and Dan was there as well, I asked every state representative in the state house at the time. I stood on the floor. I said, if you yourself, a family member of a friend, has not been impacted by drugs, stand up. And nobody in the house could stand up. That's a statement in itself. So when you talk about a 40 or 50 year war that we've been fighting with no benefits, as a matter of fact, we have a heroin epidemic right now, an opiate epidemic right now, where marijuana is almost on every corner you can get it. I mean, we have to take a look at the way on how we're dealing with drugs. Because to say that we're going in the right way right now, I don't think what we are. I don't believe that you can incarcerate your way out of addiction. And I think that we need to readdress how we legislate drugs so that we're creating a better humanity. So I do think that you, at some time, we're going to have to take a look at recreational marijuana.
Do you think that the proliferation of vape shops that we're seeing everywhere, we're seeing them open that in a number of places, that they've been waiting for something like this? Is that kind of part of the overall change that we're seeing in the perception of marijuana in society?
Well, I mean, you know, it's probably a long shot for most of them, if not all of them. I mean, it's going to be tightly regulated. There are going to be 50 dispensaries that can have three locations each. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be looked at rigorously in terms of those things that I talked about before, criminal background checks, you know, how they manage their businesses with respect to security and record keeping and so forth. So my guess is, as I just look around in my neighborhood at some of these vape shops, they have a long way to go to be able to qualify for what I expect to be very rigorous standards for dispensaries.
Let's take a call from Muhammad in Pittsburgh. Hi, Muhammad. You're on the air. Whoops, we lost Muhammad. Sorry about that. Let's go to Jay in Mount Lebanon. Hi, Jay. You're on with Representatives Gainey and Frankel.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You are on the air.
That's great. My question kind of got answered, but I'm still a little bit unclear. It's sort of about the idea of going from processing, from growing to processing, and the marijuana not being dispensed in a smokable form. So I also had heard that you mentioned something about an 18 to 24 month lead up time. So I guess what I'm wondering is twofold. One, is it going to be a 1.5 to 2 year time duration for the marijuana to become available to these patients? And the second thing is, I'm assuming that, you know, these growers and processors and dispensaries will then need to, like, register with the Department of Health. And, you know, what are the criteria by which they get selected?
Good questions, Jay. And I'll let Dan Frankel and Ed Gainey answer that.
Well, I think that, as I said, the standards are pretty rigorous for the Department of Health. You know, in terms of the framework, as I said, background checks, security, being able to manage your business, I think having the resources to do it. It's not going to be something somebody can come in and do in a very casual way and say, hey, I want to get in this business, boom. So it is going to take some while. The framework is established in the legislation, but the Department of Health really has to put the meat on the bones in terms of how it's going to be implemented, and it will take some time to do it right. In the meantime, folks who need access to medical marijuana will be able to get it from out of state. And again, I'm not sure exactly how that's going to take place, but I think you're going to have to go through the process of qualifying through a physician and getting a prescription. But there will be a means to be able to access medical marijuana while the structure of implementing this legislation is rolled out over the next 18 to 20 months.
But you have to; it has to be from states that's already passed medical marijuana laws.
We have an email from an LGBT Pennsylvania activist, it's a tweet from an LGBT Pennsylvania activist who is asking about recreational legalization, mentioning that alcohol has no medical value and it's legal. Of course, during Prohibition, you could get a prescription for alcohol, and there was always the joke about I'm getting it strictly for medicinal purposes. That aside, what about what this person is saying about alcohol, and this comes up a lot. Why is it legal and marijuana not for recreational use?
I think it goes back to the education of the community, to be quite frank. Like I said before, we have to educate the community on medical marijuana and the benefits of medical marijuana. The same goes, I mean, since 1937 is when they outlawed marijuana in the United States of America. Before that, marijuana was legal. So there's been a lot of misconceptions, a lot of distortions of the facts and the truth that's out there that people have believed for a long time. I mean, for a long time, everybody thought that marijuana was the gateway drug. We spoke about that earlier. But the reality is when you look at opioids and the fact that it leads to heroin addiction, it leads to other things, you can't really say that about medical marijuana. You can't really say, marijuana, period. You really can't say that. So that's why I said, again, it's a conversation that has to take place. I do agree with Dan. I don't know if Pennsylvania is ready to have that conversation today. But we all know that conversation at some time, particularly on the decriminalization side, has to take place. We can't, we can't just continue to incarcerate our way out of addiction of anything. And right now, that's what we've been doing, and we've been a failure. And until we change
incarcerating people out of addiction.
Absolutely.
Addiction.
I mean, the same thing they get on the streets, they get in jail. So, I mean, what have we done to improve humanity? Hmm. And right now, we can't continue to do that. Going down that road is destruction. We have to uplift and rebuild humanity, and that comes from legislating differently than what we've done in the past. So I agree. At some level, we have to talk about marijuana.
Yeah, I'm sympathetic to the idea of full legalization, but I think we have to take a look at what's taking place in states like Colorado, because I think there have been some unintended consequences that weren't anticipated
when they
I think being able to regulate kind of the levels of THC, because I think people don't, those of us who grew up in the 1970s and went to college, and experimented with the marijuana, it's, as I understand it, a completely different thing today. And I think people need to be able to understand what they're purchasing and what the impact is going to be on them. And I don't think that that's worked out particularly well in Colorado. So I think they're taking a look at it. In the meantime, the one thing that we absolutely have to move forward with at the state level that I think there would be some movement for, is decriminalization. That needs to take place. We need to stop criminalizing folks for using marijuana recreationally. And I think that might be a realistic starting point for moving forward.
In several states where they have recreational marijuana and medical marijuana, we've seen a decrease. In some states it's 25%, in some states it's less, of incarcerations in regards to marijuana. I think that's major when you see a decrease. I mean, you can't stabilize a family if you continue to put them in jail. And I always say, if we can't stop the war on the trade of the drugs coming over here, how are we ever going to stop the drug war? So we got to focus on the drug trade. If we really talk about border control, we need to talk about the drugs not coming into America.
412-246-2002. We have a few minutes left with our guests, Representative Dan Frankel, Representative Ed Gainey of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, joining us to talk about the legalization of medical marijuana in Pennsylvania, which both of these gentlemen worked hard to make happen. And we have an email at esspgh@wesa.fm. Jonathan, in an email, says, what if you are a federal employee working in Pennsylvania and using a prescription? This goes back to the whole question of the federal government, which at this point, the official position is looking the other way, which is sort of...
Don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So someone like Jonathan is concerned. How would you answer his question?
I'd have a hard time responding to that, other than I think there's kind of broad acceptance out there. I don't think folks, if they understand medical marijuana, it really won't impair people the way smoking marijuana does. So I think it's going to be an evolving process of people, employers, and the public understanding what it is and how it affects people.
412-246-2002, if you want to get in one last comment. And, certainly there are people that are very happy about this today, and one of the questions that has come up, and I think we've talked about it a bit here, but I don't know that we've made it clear exactly when marijuana is going to be, medical marijuana is going to be available to people. People are anxious. Is it 30 days? Is that what I heard? Do we know?
I'm not sure exactly, but as I said, I mean, there is a way for people to access it with prescription from other states that have the structure in place at this point, while Pennsylvania is working on the regulations that are necessary to basically implement the law.
Okay.
And I would definitely wait for the Department of Health. I think they'll be coming out discussing exactly what all the yep. rules and regulations
There will be temporary regs issued by the Department of Health very shortly. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell you exactly what the time frame is, but I think it's certainly in the next month or two, I think you'll have something from them figuring out how we can get access to people in the meantime.
Very good. Well, I think we've done, certainly with your help, gone a long way toward answering the questions that people might have. Still some things that need to be determined once and for all, as this is sort of a law that has a lot of moving pieces at this point and will be settled and discussed going forward. But I want to thank the gentleman who took part in the discussion that we've had today on the show, Representative Ed Gainey, and Representative Dan Frankel, who are members of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, who were in many ways an integral part of the passage of medical marijuana in Pennsylvania. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Paul.
Up next, a current funding lawsuit alleges that Pennsylvania has broken its constitutional obligation to provide a thorough and efficient education. We'll talk with Cheryl Kleiman, one of the attorneys in the case, and Kevin McCory, WHYY senior education writer. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.